There we go. I don't know what's going on with my hair today. It's gone all kind of... Ugh.
Hey, it's normally me that's complaining, not you.
Look at it. It's all over the place. Anyway. Three.
Oh, that just reminded me to order some more shampoo. Sorry. Thank you for that.
Hey, no worries. We aim to please. All right. 3, 2, 1.
This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. In our weekly show, we cover news and views from our businesses, along with a top-of-mind topic. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk, the podcast, without the Dog Walking Digest, and every now and again we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. After 90 episodes of just audio, we're now on YouTube as well. So feel free to catch up there. Just search for the Trainers Training Company or the Get That Gang, or download us on audio only through your favourite podcast streamer. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, and we're at episode number 101. Goodness me. So after the excitement of last week's 100th episode, Sharon, how's this week been for you? How have you sort of, you know, recognised the centenary in any other way, or is it just business as usual?
No, business as usual. Although on the 100 thing, it was very sad, wasn't it, that Prince Philip didn't get to be 100.
Yeah.
It was very sad. And that's been a sad thing this week, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah, I feel very sorry for the Queen, obviously. You know,
I really do. Yeah.
She clearly, she was
devastated. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. But like you, I felt sad that he didn't make 100. I mean, to be fair, when he came out of hospital this last time and you saw the picture of him sitting in the back of the car, it's like, ooh, he's not looking well. I think would be a generous way of putting it. And I just remember thinking at the time, it'd be nice if he made the 100 just so he could get a telegram from his wife apart from anything else. But, you know, it's kind of, he's not long for this world. It is very sad that he's died. I'm not sure it required quite the level of coverage on the various channels, but I think without wanting to get into triggering territory, shall we say, for some people, I think it was one of those things where it's yes, it's sad, but at the same time it's not unexpected. You know, he'd lived a long and full life and absolutely in service of the country and of his wife, and I think it's really what's really interesting for me with when things like that happen is that initially you get the sort of the prepared plaudits, you know, that kind of thing. Then you start getting the other bits and pieces. But then you get the stories from, horrible phrase, but ordinary people, sort of, you know, talking about their encounters and their memories and you know, what they'll take away from having... Yeah. You know, been him and knowing him in passing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you also get an insight into just how much work it is to be a member of the royal family.
Oh my goodness me,
And I really, seriously, I do think that, you know, some people want to complain about the royal family and, oh, they're so rich and born with a silver spoon and blah, 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 and all the rest of it. It's like, he worked until he was 97.
I know. And the Queen's still working, isn't she? I mean, you know.
Like, come on now. Let's, you know, just give it a bit of a break. You don't get to just go off and do a fly and flop holiday out of COVID restrictions, obviously. Or you don't get to decide where you're going. You can't, you know, wake up in the morning and think, oh, do you know, I just fancy a mooch around the shops today. None of that. You know, all these freedoms that we have, they don't. And they get to work for, you know, 20, 30 even years longer than a lot of people do and would expect to retire at. So I do think it's really interesting where you sort of see all this information come out, and you could get to understand a little bit more about who these people are, who for all intents and purposes have just been a figure on the screen for many, many people, you know, and so many people haven't actually seen the royal family in person, you know. So exactly. So it's interesting, yeah. Isn't it?
But, well, it's very sad, and he's clearly what's clear is that he was an absolutely much loved member of the family.
Yeah.
And you know, and the Queen, and yeah, it's just going to be very sad. You know, it is very sad. It's yeah. always sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of stopped me in the tracks. Chats a bit on Thursday. Was it Thursday?
Friday.
They're kind of like, like you say, even though you kind of not expected,
yes,
not unexpected, yeah. You kind of think, oh, that's, you know, that's really sad. And so that a tenuous link there to our 100th episode.
Yes.
Not intended, but no. just popped up in my head as we were talking. Mm-hmm. And really this week has been on the work front, it's just been very quiet. It's just been, I think this week has been, because it was bank holiday, it was Easter,
yeah.
wasn't it? Last week.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people took the week off, and it has just really been, you know, just very quiet. Mm-hmm. So I just allowed myself to just take it for what it was, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, it's quiet this week. It doesn't mean anything. It's just lots of people are out there taking a break, and goodness me, it's been cold, hasn't it?
Oh God, yeah. Crazy weather. Crazy weather. I mean, one of my clients who I know on Facebook put up a post where in the morning he had, you know, it wasn't thick snow, but it was definitely snow covering his garden. And then in the afternoon he was at his local sort of shopping centre, open air shopping centre, and there's people, you know, out in the sunshine. And yeah. And he said, saw even one person sitting outside a cafe in a pair of shorts. And
yeah.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, it kind of isn't for this country as well. Yeah. It's sort of, yeah, well, you know. But at the same time, it's like, what is going on with this weather? And it just, yeah. I was saying to Mum over the weekend, it just feels like winter has gone on forever. Yeah. And I know that a lot of the reason for that is because we've been locked down for significant parts of it, but it does feel like it's lasted an awful long time, and it's lasting too long now. It's like no, we've had the first signs of spring. Can we carry on, please? Yeah, freezing this morning.
I popped my head out just now, just let Jem out for a wee, and I was like, oh God, it's cold out there.
Definitely. Well, I always look at the temperature. I don't take much notice of what they say the actual weather's going to do, but the temperature on the BBC weather app, just to see, you know, do I need a hat, how many layers am I putting on, which coat am I putting on, that kind of thing, what shoes do I need for the dog walk. And I looked at it, and I'd already looked at it, and for some reason I'd fixated on 3 degrees. So, oh, that's a bit nippy. And then I looked on my phone just before going out to decide whether or not to take a hat. It said -1. It's like, oh my word, what is going on? Crazy.
Oh, so yeah, so that's been a bit weird this week. A couple of significant events this week for me.
Mm-hmm.
One, have my nails done. First in the queue yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, it's brilliant. She comes around to the house and it's like, oh, it's just amazing. Uh-huh. I'm just like, yeah, I've been struggling doing my own nails, and you know, it generally last all of about 2 hours before they start chipping off. So I'm very, very happy with that.
Good.
And I have my black. Now the sun is not shining today, but if it was to be shining, I would be able to just
pull
my blinds.
Hallelujah! Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
And you didn't have to wait 6 weeks after all, even though.
No, indeed.
You know.
Yeah, it came on Sunday, so that's so that was really good. So I'm very, very happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just made, actually, we should have had this done to begin with. It's just made everything much, I don't know, it's lovely. It feels like lovely and much cleaner, and it's just really nice.
It's funny, isn't it, how closing something off can do that, because you're not really closing anything off. You're just putting a temporary covering over the top. But with the sort of blinds I would imagine you've got, I can see a little bit, if they're the same as the ones I can see in the background, they still let the light through, obviously. They're not blackout or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you've got a nice light room, but the light source is more steady because you've got blinds on every window.
So I'm very happy with that, thank you very much.
What an upgrade, goodness me. Nails and blinds in one
nails
week.
And blinds in the same week. I'm very happy. And then I just decided that, you know, might just move house as well, you know, as you do. So
As one does. Now, I feel this needs a little bit more explanation for those people who are perhaps new to the podcast or haven't, you know, heard any of the kind of seeds that you've been laying about what might possibly maybe could be happening.
Well, it's woo-woo again, isn't it? And we do like to talk about woo-woo.
We do.
On the show. And so I'm going to bring Wee back into it again. So we ended up in this house a year and a bit ago, mm-hmm. because the original house that we were going to buy, they wouldn't accept our offer because they wanted too much money. And mm-hmm. then we wouldn't increase the offer. And they said no. And they kept saying no. And in the end, we decided to find somewhere else. And we did. And we found this house. And then 2 weeks later, they came back and they said, oh, we will accept your offer now. Mm-hmm. But we said, sorry, it's too late because we've already started this process with another house. Just recently, now where we live, is I always sort of say up the hill. So it's up the hill. So it means that we've got this amazing view, but it means obviously we're not right down in the town. And it's like, you know, we don't have things around us. We don't have, you know, shops, cafes, all the rest of it, which would be quite nice to have. So we've always had this dilemma of, are we in the right spot? Would it be nicer to be, mm-hmm. you know, down the hill, et cetera, et cetera.
How long, sorry to interrupt, but how long does it take you to get down the hill if you were driving or walking?
If you're driving, it's like a 5 minute drive. I know, bonkers. If you're walking, it's probably about half an hour.
Okay.
It's a decent walk. Mm-hmm. So it's this constant dilemma. And literally every blooming weekend we're always down there, and you know, we just talk about it all the time. And you get to the point where I'm just like, I'm sick of talking about it now. It's like we either do something about it, mm-hmm. or we just put up and shut up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we just decided to just have this crazy, we just had this whirlwind of a week where we thought, oh yeah, let's put the house on the market, get a couple of agents around. Next minute, they're both coming up with these crazy valuations. And we just thought, oh my God, how can it have increased that much in a year?
Yeah.
To agreeing for one of them to put it on the market, to having the photos done, to like putting it out there, mm-hmm. on Thursday morning, and by Thursday afternoon we had like about 8 people booked in to see it. It was like, oh my God,
that's
I only said this was an idea.
See how dangerous that is. Having that ideas is, be careful.
But I know, but it's catch 22. You've got to do something, because if this perfect property comes up, mm-hmm. then you can't do anything about it. So I was kind of thinking, oh, we'll do that and see what happens, just mm-hmm. thinking we could sit back and wait for something to unfold. And then bizarrely, I just got thinking about the house that we were going to buy, mm-hmm. and did a bit of Facebook Facebook detective work, trying to work out where the owners were, because they'd basically sold their house, which mm-hmm. was the one next door, and they'd sold it. And I thought, are they still living there? Are they not? What are they doing with the house next door, which we were going to buy? Discovered through the power of Facebook that they actually are in France. Mm-hmm. So I thought, they must be selling that house at some point. You know, why would they?
Yeah,
they're not coming back, clearly. Yeah. So I sort of worked out who the agent was, who they sold their house through. And I just gave them a call and I said, oh, you know, we're the people who, you know, we were going to buy that, told them the story. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's happening with the house? And she said, oh, well, she said, it's funny that you've rung. She says, because it is going on the market but at the end of July, because they've got tenants in it at the moment. I was like, oh, woo-woo. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be available.
Definitely.
So the upshot of it is that we're going around to see it this afternoon. So,
oh, you couldn't write it, could you?
Write it. So I've been saying all along to anybody who's listens, do you know, we're going to end up in that house that we should have bought, you know. We are. We're going to end up in the house. We are. I just feel it.
It's true. And you can, if you're so inclined, lovely listeners or lovely viewers, you can check back on the podcast episodes from probably earlier than this time last year, wasn't it? So whenever.
So that has all been a bit of a whirlwind this week, and it's been a whirlwind and also a bit of a distraction. Mm-hmm. And even though I said to myself this time last week, I must not allow myself to get distracted by this and just let it all unfold, it's very hard not for it not to be on your mind.
Completely. Yeah, definitely. Of course it is. I mean, when it's something like this that has been really all consuming for you for a long period of time, because there was the wanting to move. Do I want to move? Don't I want to move? Do we want to come down here? Do we not want to come down here? Wanting the house, not wanting the house, finding a different house, getting the house done up, all the lockdown in amongst it, being away from everything that you knew and all the rest of it, but not being able to get out and explore. And now to come to this where restrictions are starting to be eased and it's like, oh, should we move again? Yeah. I love it. Never a dull moment.
I know. I do make life hard for myself.
Well,
sometimes.
Do you know I think you're doing exactly the right thing, because you're exploring, right? And if it comes off, it comes off. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But the fact that you've said, you know, we either do something about it or we shut up about it. There's no in between here, because you can't be in limbo like that, can you? So it's going to be fascinating to hear what you think about it going back to the house this afternoon.
I know, because I've got a feeling that I might just walk. Oh, excuse me. I'm just going to go and shut my blinds.
Has the sun come out, Sharon? Is this an excuse to, well, look at that. What a difference it makes. Woohoo!
Darker, but at least I'm not looking like a zebra.
Your face just then was fantastic. Talk about smug face. # smug face. Look at me with my curtains. I love it. Brilliant. Oh dear.
So yeah, I'm either going to walk in there and go, what on earth was I thinking? Or go, oh yeah, I could, you know, quite fancy living here.
Yeah.
You know, but who knows?
It's true. I think, as I was saying to you before we started recording this morning, I think your initial reaction is going to be the telling one. Well, I mean, you know to trust your gut anyway.
I do indeed. Mm-hmm. So tune in, everybody, next week for the...
who knows?
Yes, to find out what happens. What happens next?
Oh, my.
So well, that was my week.
Yeah, I was going to say, my week hasn't been anywhere near as exciting as that. Although I do have a couple of tales to tell, actually, for the Dog Walking Digest. So I'll save that for after we've done Top of Mind. But in terms of the rest of my week, pretty much as you described, because of Easter, and even though both of us were working on Bank Holiday Monday anyway, I think the week itself, it went very, very quickly, but at the same time didn't seem to have anything massively significant going on in there. I mean, lots of lovely things and speaking to people and doing some cool and interesting work and that kind of thing, but nothing sort of, you know, standout-ish, so to speak, on that front. Although gearing up for Train Short Local in Bournemouth this Friday, which I can't believe we didn't notice this until now, is, you know, it's also the next round of the Complete Trainer. I don't know. Anyway, so yes, so I should be doing Trainer Talk Local Bournemouth whilst you're doing the first session about numbers.
Yes, indeed.
For Complete Trainer, but that's all right. Yeah. I shall catch up later. I should be uploading the webinar itself and all the slides and everything later on Friday, no doubt. But yeah, so I mean, in terms of exciting things happening or any kind of things like that, I don't think there's anything specifically to report on that. I mean, I would look at my calendar, but I can tell you already, it's just having conversations with people, nice conversations, great conversations. Got some lovely clients that I'm working with at the moment, but in terms of something as monumentous as let's put the house on the market, oh look, 8 people are interested, oh look, the house we wanted to buy has come back on the market, nothing like that for me.
Well, I wouldn't say they were interested. I mean, we had 8 people round. We haven't had anybody ringing us up this morning and saying they want to buy it. So, But one person apparently seemed very and said, oh, will they wait for us till Friday? Because my wife needs to come and see it. I was like, yeah, I think so. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a long way to go, isn't it?
It really is. It really, really is. So, just take it one step at a time. But yes, I do have a habit of doing these things. I don't like if I notice myself, complaining about things, I'm like, okay, what can I do about this? I just don't want to keep talking about the same old thing.
Of course,
let's do something about it. Let's do something positive to you know, and then you'll know, you know, a bit like if it, as I say, if we just go down this road and we decide that's what we want to do, then it kind of, it makes the decision for you that you don't have to talk about it anymore. You either stay where you are or you move and but end off talking.
Getting out of limbo, I think, is definitely a very important thing. I can tell you one exciting thing I did last week, is prepare all my stuff for my accountants for the quarterly VAT return. Got that ticked off my to-do list.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. So shall we? Well, speaking of getting things ticked off your to-do list, I suppose that segues quite nicely into today's top of mind topic, doesn't it? So do you want to explain, seeing as you are the queen of this, I was saying, if you weren't doing Trainer Talk or the Trainers Training Company, I think this would be your calling in life, this particular topic. So why don't you introduce it for everybody?
Well, it does actually link with what I've been doing this week in terms of putting my house on the market. It's kind of, you know, decluttering. Decluttering is our topic because
getting rid of a house.
Well, no, it's not getting rid of a house. It's kind of, it's getting rid of this stuff that's in your head.
Yeah.
So every weekend going down the road and going down this continuous loop of mental torture of shall we do this, shall we not, oh that seems like a big thing, oh god, and could, you know, all this sort of thing,
completely
it's clutter occupying my brain space and I can't be in that space. I have to get rid of it. So because I think when you look at decluttering, people always think about physical decluttering. You know, so basically, declutter. Okay, I'll tidy my office and, I'll get rid of a load of files that I don't need or get rid of a load of junk out of my house.
Yeah.
But actually, I think it's just as important to have a mental declutter of all the stuff that is occupying your brain and needn't be there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I agree. Absolutely. I think that you can really give yourself sort of all sorts of barriers to moving forward, can't you, when you've got all this stuff swirling around in your head. And sometimes the only thing you need to do is just write it all down on a list so that it's out of your head and down on paper. And then other times you need to come to a decision about something, which is where you're at the moment, effectively, isn't it? It's about sort of, right, instead of going to and fro, because that's mentally exhausting, you know, reliving and rehashing all the arguments and trying to find a way through, whereas actually the way through is to make a decision. And that decision is either going to be, we're going to do this, or no, we're not. We're not going to do anything now and we'll look again in 6 months or whatever that might be. So I mean, there's all sorts of decluttering that can be done. And you're right, absolutely. I mean, as soon as somebody says decluttering, my head immediately goes to what I can get rid of out of the house. And to be honest, you know, at some point over the summer, I'm pretty confident I'm going to be hiring a skip. And just
you did that last summer.
Now, I talked about doing it last summer, if you remember, and then never got around to it, just because of the amount of work that was going on. And I knew I wouldn't have time to do it properly. So I'd end up just either not putting anything in the skip or putting everything in the skip and then going, oh, actually, that was really quite useful. I could have done keeping that. So I'm pretty confident it's going to happen this year for sure. And there's a place for that. I did a bit of a digital declutter the other day, which was nice. Just sort of moving a few bits and pieces around. It's not impacted massively on all the stuff that I've got, but at the same time it has sort of cleared things up and tidied things up a little bit. I do think that we can tend to forget about the importance of a mental declutter as well. So have you always been like this since a child, in terms of you've always felt the need to rid yourself of anything that is not useful or excess, or was there a turning point at some point?
I don't know, really. I don't really know as a child, but certainly I've always been, you know, when I've sort of in my various houses, and I've lived in many of them over the years. I should count actually how many houses I've lived in, probably about 20.
I know, but
I've always been like that. I can't see the value of just holding on to stuff that you just don't need. It just gets in the way. You know, I find it offensive. Things have got to be, you either use them or you get rid of them. I'm just completely ruthless, and there's nothing worse than, you know, being married to or having a partner who is a hoarder, because it's just like, you know, and when you start to go through stuff, oh, I'll just hold on to that, you know, just in case. No, when was the last time you used it? You didn't even know it was there, you know. It's like,
are you telling us something about Jim here?
Well, you know, it's kind of, and I think people do that, don't they? Yeah. They get that sort of hold on to things, mm-hmm. and you know, there's so much stuff that we don't know is there. Could be in the loft, could be somewhere else, and it's only when you see it in a box and you go, oh, I need to hold on to that. But why?
My stepdad is a classic case in point for this, and it frustrates the hell out of my mum. And she's not a massive declutterer herself, but she does like things to be put away and neat and tidy and all the rest of it. So John, by contrast, will keep stuff just in case. So the garage is just filled with stuff, and she said, I don't know what we're going to do when he goes, because, you know, I'm Daryl, but this is his son, won't want any of that. And it's just a complete mess. I mean, I said, well, we just open the garage door and let people take what they want, because there's so much rubbish in there, it's ridiculous. But I mean, case in point for him over the weekend, he doesn't like getting rid of stuff. So he's got a pair of brown moccasin slippers that are worn through on the bottom, and he's got a pair of brown shoes that are worn through on the bottom. A homeless person would reject them, right? They're that bad. And Mum said, I'm just going to chuck them away. He won't notice. She said, I've bought him two new pairs of slippers, two new pairs of shoes, and he still won't wear them. She said, I'm just going to chuck them away. So they had, it's not a row, they don't row, but they had this sort of backwards and forwards, and he's going, no, they're good for another 10 years or whatever. And it's like, no. They're going. I'm taking them away from you right now. And, you know, on a Sunday morning, they both get dressed up to go to church. And he's all dressed up. And then you look at the state of his shoes. It's like, John, come on. You can't possibly go to church with those shoes on. Oh, they're good. They're good for another 10 years. Like this, he goes. So, yeah, so at the weekend, he had one pair of slippers and one pair of shoes unceremoniously thrown into the rubbish. But she will go through his stuff and just take it, and then 3 weeks later, I go, have you seen that black jacket or whatever it might be? She's like, no, I haven't seen it. And she said, threw it away 3 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Because he's one of life's hoarders. He absolutely is. Me.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think the physical decluttering is a lot easier if you find it easier to declutter. And I think people can see the sense in that, because it's, you know, it's, you know, you're more productive, mm-hmm. when you're in a clean space, when you haven't got loads of stuff on your desk, when, you know, you're not sort of rummaging around trying to find things. You know, an organized desk, mm-hmm. should equate to an organized mind, so mm-hmm. people can see that. But I think, you know, the other two types of decluttering, the mental decluttering and the digital decluttering, are sometimes harder, mm-hmm. to do, I think. And when you said digital decluttering, I was like, oh my God. I mean, there are so many things that I still need to get rid of, mm-hmm. that are hanging around. I mean, my documents are not as organized as they should be. I spend far too long looking for things, mm-hmm. sometimes. And half the documents that I've got, really, I don't ever use anymore. I should just delete them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I've been trying to go through that process. And the other thing, like emails, honestly, I've got so many folders set up for emails. And honestly, some of them, you know, go back to like 2015, 2012, you know. I'm kind of like, why am I holding onto these emails, you know, just in case I need them, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. but digital decluttering, and, you know, old courses that maybe you bought, PDFs that are, you know, kicking around, things that you've downloaded. You know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, mm-hmm. occupying space, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. And I mean, one thing that actually I had to do, was it last week or the week before? And I really resented doing it, but I understand why it's there, and it's because people don't do the digital declutter. Is let me start making some sense on this story. Dropbox, right? Dropbox has a free provision, and that's been fine, except that I've got a couple of shared folders from clients that need to send me stuff and all the rest of it. Now, Dropbox, I've been quite happily using for whatever the price was for however long it was, for years. And then they decided that they were going to up the yearly fee. And it's less than £100. It's not massively expensive. Yeah. But the way they went about it was what I really objected to, was that they sent an email saying, congratulations, you're getting an upgrade and it's going to cost you this much more.
Right.
That's not an upgrade.
That's not an upgrade.
You're providing me with stuff that I haven't asked for and charging me more money for it and not giving me a choice. So I was like, I downgraded to a free account and that was fine until I had clients who decided that, you know, they needed to send me some stuff. And I was able to cope with most of it. But then for whatever reason, there was just more going on. It's like, do you know what? I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and pay for this upgrade. And it was so annoying because the jump between what you get for the free and what you get for the first payment plan is massive, right? There's no in-between ground. And I don't need that much space. But what it does do is encourage people to hoard files because you jump from very little space to masses of space. And then there's no incentive to declutter and to get rich. Now, I get why they're doing that as a company, but at the same time, it's just kind of no, you know, because then you end up, you just keep stuff in there for no good reason. Now, you will know, uploading the recording of the podcast every week and the complete trainer stuff, I regularly go through, download what I need and then delete the stuff that's there because I've got it. It doesn't need to sit in Dropbox anymore. Whereas, you know, if we were in a situation where it was unlimited space for whatever, then, you know, you just leave it in there because, oh, well, it's always there and it's there just in case and blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't have half the files, if not more than that, of the previous podcast episodes in terms of the raw footage. And certainly the stuff where before we started putting it on YouTube, there's no video footage anywhere. Certainly of the very, very early stuff. There might be some of the later stuff. Just purely from the point of view, we don't need those files. They've been edited. They've been produced. They've been put out into the universe as those files. We've got them on your website and on my website. We don't need to keep them anywhere else. And they're massive files, obviously, because they're audio and video, or at least the audio itself is not as big as the video files, but still, it's still quite a lot of space to keep up. So I was just really kind of going to have to pay this money. It's like £65 or something for the year. So I can't even remember, but it was less than 100. But it was just the fact that I had to pay for it in order to get access to this extra stuff that I needed, which all I was going to do was get the stuff I needed, download it, and then get rid of the rest. And it's like, can't we use WeTransfer? It's like, should I go to my client and ask them to just use WeTransfer? It's like, well, they've already uploaded it now and sent it to me. It's just like, oh, just bite the bullet, just, you know, path of least resistance and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not a lot of money. You can do it and it will come in handy for other things, et cetera, et cetera. it was just one of those. It was a real decision moment. But now I've made the decision. It's just like, yeah, fine, it's done.
It's, I think, you know, the question of sort of, you know, because, I mean, when you think of how many Zooms we do, you know, during the course of an average week. And again, I know that probably they're all sitting in my documents.
They will be. Yeah.
All need to be deleted. But it's, you know, and I think it's about having like a routine or a habit or a practice, isn't it? It's a bit like, you know, not having millions of tabs open, you know, getting into the discipline of like closing them down. It's the same sort of thing that we're talking about, isn't it? So, you know, just deleting stuff as soon as you've, or taking the time maybe once a day or once a week to go through all the stuff, because it's a bit like, you know, the bigger a task gets, the less likely you are to get started. You look at all those documents that need to be deleted, you go, I can't be bothered. But just having that sort of regular routine and practice, because it does build up. And it's, and why is this important? Well, it's important because otherwise it slows you down, because you are constantly, you know, trying to find stuff on your computer or laptop or whatever. And you know, then you get frustrated and, and all that kind of stuff, and you know, you're less productive, you feel less good about yourself and all that stuff. So just a really, really little simple practice like that of just deleting stuff rather than hanging on to it can be really beneficial.
It can. And when I've had a really good digital declutter, I get really annoyed when I have something come in that I need to deal with and I have to save a copy somewhere in order to do something to it and then hoof it back out to wherever it needs to go. It's like, but I don't have a folder for that. So it has to go on my desktop. That's really annoying because it's just this thing that doesn't fit nicely into my little digital filing system.
Yeah.
So I have to end up sort of, you know, putting it on the desktop and then remembering and trying to come back to it. I mean, I do save random bits. I think, oh, that'll be interesting for the thing that's coming up. But then I forget that I've saved those random bits. So every now and again, it's a really good exercise to sort of go through and go, right, what's that all about? What's that all about? Do I need it anymore? No, I probably don't. The one place that I haven't decluttered recently, which I really must do, is my Chrome bookmarks bar. So I've got many highlighted just, you know, web pages. And some of it goes back several years, like you were saying, you know, maybe not to 2012, but certainly quite a long time back, of just things that I thought I would want to come back and refer to at the time. And in the end, just didn't end up using them or whatever. And I do need to go through and just think, right, delete, 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 delete. And if they were gone, I would say probably everything that's not actually fitting on the top bar of Chrome at the moment, probably five beyond that, everything else can just go. It's not required, not needed at all. So it's definitely one of the things that I can do when I have an idle 5 minutes. Probably take longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Half of this stuff I'm going to look at and go, what did I want that for? But
it's important, all this stuff, isn't it? And, you know, just pay attention to it. You know, decluttering, you know, declutter yourself mentally, declutter yourself physically, and declutter yourself digitally as well, and try and build in some time and some habits and practices to kind of help you do that, I think would be the message. And let us know where you get on.
Yeah, for sure. But equally, one thing I do want to say is that if you are not the sort of person for whom you are able to maintain a tidy desk, that's okay.
Is that you then?
no, not at all. Although, I mean, I have sort of places for things to go, but I do end up with bits of paper despite my best efforts. I don't mean sort of, you know, stuff strewn everywhere so that you can't find it. But if you're not the sort of person for whom it's like everything goes neatly in the place at the end of the day and all the rest of it, don't worry about it. This is definitely one of those things where, you know, you see them in lists of the top 10 habits of high performing people or blah, blah, blah. There is evidence, there is science to support that you don't have to be one of these uber neat people in order to perform and to function well. Some people find that they are more creative when they have things around them, and that's okay. If you need, you know, half a dozen little mascots or whatever it is on your desk to have that space that works for you, that's absolutely fine. I think the point that we're making is don't keep things for the sake of keeping them. Keep them if they are useful to you, and if they are useful in inspiring your creativity, fantastic. If they're not, time to say bye-bye.
Time to go.
absolutely brilliant. All right, so shall we move on to the dog walking digest? Yes.
You've got some couple of nice stories this week,
haven't you? I mean, the first one is well, really this time last week the golfers were back in town, so Scamp is a very happy boy, because what it means is that they're all using those horrible little plastic tea things to do their tee shots. So he likes to go around and he actively goes and sniffs them out because he likes to chew them, and it must be something to do with the sort of plastic that they're made of. Must feel nice in his mouth, because he will sometimes, and he knows he gets a treat if he brings it to me and drops it, he will get a treat for doing that, so that I can dispose of it properly, because obviously, you know, it's plastic, it's not going to biodegrade. But sometimes he will stop and have a bit of a chew about 10 feet away from me because he's enjoying the chewing and he doesn't want to stop chewing just so his favorites are the pink ones. Don't ask me why. They must have a different smell to them, or a different feel to them, or whatever it is. So it's a bit of plastic fantastic for him. So he's very happy about that. But two strange incidents happening. And I know for sure you're going to say, oh, it all happens in Bournemouth for these. The first one was, we were walking back Across, we've gone across a park, and there's a little sort of, there's the big field, and then there's another little field, which is the one we exit from to go up the road to come home. And we were just sort of walking, and Scamp was already on the lead, and there were a couple of ladies with, you know, two or three dogs amongst them. And this one dog was kind of, you know, obviously for whatever reason, liked Scamp's smell and was sort of trotting after him. And we were walking to get to the pavement, to get to the road. And of course, this dog wasn't stopping. They were yelling at it and all the rest of it. So I thought, right, okay, well, we'll stop before we get to the road so that you can come and collect it. And this, you know, youngish girl, I'd say in her 20s maybe, came running up, and this sort of dog, I can't remember what sort it was. It was a sort of a blonde coloured, fluffy thing. So some kind of terrier cross. And it had run past us and was actually on the pavement. So she was, you know, chasing it around like this, as people do, trying to get hold of it. And I sort of looked at the dog because I was thinking, oh, should I try and grab hold of it? Thinking, right, I'll grab its collar. Didn't have a collar on. So I'm sort of looking at this dog, and we're on the pavement by this point. And I said, oh, has your dog got a collar? Oh, no, no, no. I said, oh, well, your dog should have a collar. Why? Well, because it's the law. Dogs don't like collars. Sorry, what? Your dog should still have a collar. No, he shouldn't. Who says so? I said, it's the law for your dog to have a collar. You have, if you've got your dog out of your home, you know, environment, you have to have a collar for your dog. So then she said, oh, well, like this, and picked the dog up, and they'd obviously dropped them out of a car right next to the field. And so the other woman, I mean, I don't even know what either of them were saying, something about, like this, so, look it up, my darlings, it's against the law for your dog to not have a collar. And I'm walking back up the road going, dogs don't like collars. What a you know, he should have a collar. Why? Well, because it's against the law for your dog to just, it was a really bizarre kind of conversation. It's like, okay, but you clearly don't have control of your dog, and you were struggling to grab hold of your dog because there was nothing to grab hold of because it was running out and could have run into the road. I mean, you know, what are you going to do if that dog causes an accident? I mean, yes, it would be dreadful if something happened to the dog, but you haven't got a leg to stand on. You can be personally sued for that because your dog should have a collar. So that was the first one, which was, dogs don't like collars. Have you asked them? So very, very odd. But the other one happened just yesterday, actually. So doing the lunchtime walk, and again, coming into the park at the same place, and just sort of happened to glance down. Like, that looks like a kitchen knife down there, but just the knife itself, not the handle. So you know the knives that have got either a plastic or a wooden handle on them, and they're affixed by the two little bolt things. So the little bolt things were there, but no actual handle. So, oh, I better take a note of that. And if it's still there on the way back, I'll pick it up and put it in my bin, because we don't, you know, I didn't want to be walking the dog with a knife in my hand, and didn't want to put it in one of the open bins, because the guys that go around and collect them and all the rest of it, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, put it in a safe place, all the rest of it. This is in the context of, there's a police helicopter overhead, right? And had been hovering for about 10 minutes. And that was part of the reason why I took Scamp out, because it's like, oh, this is so annoying because I can hear it right over the top. Didn't realise it was a police helicopter at the time. Got over to the park, and there's a one of the big 4x4 police vehicles going down the road that way. The helicopter's overhead, and then I saw somebody that I know with her little dog, and she was saying, oh, yeah, there've been police all around, and, you know, there's something going on. There's clearly somebody has done something, and they're in Queen's Park somewhere, because you've got the helicopter overhead, you've got the police cars all over the place. And, oh, right, okay, fine. So I said to her, oh, really weird, I just saw a knife at the entrance, and blah blah blah. Anyway, didn't think much more about it. She went to continued her walk, I continued my walk, and the way we sort of both go round is that we go round and come back to the car park, and I walk through the car park through the woods to get back out again, and she had gone ahead of me because she had a slightly shorter walk to do, and she was pulling out in her car, and she sort of wound the window down. She said, oh, I've just told the police that you'd found a knife. And I was like, oh, yeah, I suppose that probably might, yeah, right, okay. So I went up to this police car and said, I don't know if it's related at all, but it's, you know, so we had this long description of, but whereabouts is it? Because it's if you know where it is, then it's easy to pinpoint the place, but it's a bit of a weird kind of area. It's not on one particular road. So to describe where it is, you'd go, right, is it by that thing and that whatever? So I'm standing there going, I don't know if it's relevant or not. And the policeman in the car is going, yes, it is relevant. I'm, bloody hell, I've spotted the weapon or something like that. So I'm just like, right, okay, you know where it is, good, fine. I said, I'm walking over there now. As I walk over there, there's another two policemen in the spot and they're looking at it. And as I walk past it, yeah, that's what I saw, that's what I reported. I went, oh, you reported it, did you? I went, yes. It's when did you report it? I said, well, just to the guys in the car just now. So, all right, okay. I said, anyway, I just walked past it and on my way to the park, and now it's still there. Okay, well, over to you. It's all yours. Nobody took my name or anything like that.
Oh, my God.
But the knife was gone this morning when we went back out. So God knows what it is. I mean, I looked on the news sites and there's nothing around. I mean, it might not even be that newsworthy, but it sounds as though somebody somewhere was threatened with a knife. That might have been the knife. And it is, I mean, it was unusual. It's not normal to see a long knife like that. I mean, it didn't have anything on it. It looked clean. Yes. But at the same time, it was just oh my word. So go on, tell me. It all happens.
It all happens in Bournemouth.
Right? And so I was walking back up the road. I thought, Sharon's going to love this. So who knows, we might see something. So I'm pretty confident, because the knife was clean, it was a case of somebody threatening somebody, and but they had the helicopter out, and pretty soon after I'd spoken to the policemen that were standing over the knife, the helicopter went. So I don't know if they caught the person, because obviously they were using their heat-seeking equipment and that kind of thing. But yeah, so I should keep an eye on the news, see if we know what it was all about. But yeah, it was just honestly, just walking past it in the first place, if I'd twigged more, I might well have picked it up at the time, and then gone, oh no, this is no good, all the rest of it. But as it was, I left it, and then I'm like, no, of course it's related. Bloody hell, you never see a knife rat. Oh my God, I need to tell somebody. It's just anyway. So yeah, so that was yesterday's eventful dog walk at lunchtime.
Okay, well, I haven't got anything eventful to report at all. So
my turn.
This week. So on that bombshell, we will leave it for this week.
We will.
And see you all again next
Absolutely.
Week.
Thank you for your time and patience. Lovely listeners, lovely viewers. We will see you again next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.